May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen. Please be seated. I vividly recall part of Gemma's sermon last week. I don't know if you remember, if you were here, or whether you have listened to it on the website, but she spoke about a friend, Kate. And she spoke about just how Kate was when she had received the Holy Spirit and how it deeply affected her life, how she glowed, how she expressed joy and was a delight to be around. And the culmination of this story was that Gemma had attended her wedding the day before, and she is very shortly due to go with her new husband to Guatemala in the mission field. And so I think that is an absolutely wonderful story. Now, our gospel passage this morning has at its very center the telling of a story. You know, we can be really dismissive of stories. Perhaps when a parent tells a child not to tell stories, it can be like saying to them that what you are saying is not true. And it's just a story is often understood as saying it isn't true, it's not real life. But that understanding of story is very, very far from true about the story at the center of our gospel passage in Luke. Let's go and join the disciples in that room. They'd been listening to the account of the two disciples who had been on the road to Emmaus. They'd learnt how Jesus had just appeared among them and accompanied them, and how their hearts burned within them as he opened up the scriptures to them, showing that the whole of scripture is his own story. And now, once more, Jesus appears among them. Not surprisingly, they can't get their minds around it. He must be a ghost. But no, he demonstrates that he's very definitely flesh and blood and bones, hands and feet. He invites them to touch him, and then he eats some fish. Now, on the one hand, Jesus has a real body. But on the other hand, it's not constrained by time and place and space. It's not one or the other, but it's both. And this challenges our understanding of life and the world in which we live. There's no doubt about it, we are faced with a new reality, resurrected life. Now, I spoke about Jesus appearing among them and telling the story, and the whole of this gospel passage contains three gifts. The very first one is expressed in Jesus' opening words to them, where he says, "Peace be with you." So the first gift which Jesus brings here is his peace. Something much needed by the disciples at that time of turmoil and fear and lack of understanding, bewilderment about what was going on. The second gift he brings them is this story. Because once again, as he'd done on the road to Emmaus, Jesus tells his own story, beginning with Moses, through the prophets, and so on. And as he does so, their hearts and minds are opened. They're opened to understand the most amazing love story ever. Through the Holy Spirit, their hearts are opened. And they understand that they are part of the story too. The second gift is the story. And the third gift is what Jesus says next. Because he says to them, "You are witnesses for all this." That's a commission, it's a challenge, it's an assignment. For those disciples in that room, nothing can ever be the same again. But it's not just for those disciples in that room, it's for the whole world. Nothing can ever be the same again. Part of the understanding that the disciples receive is that in the midst of lives and a world full of stories, of this, that, and the other, of wars and conflicts, of breakups and restorations, of joys and sorrows, the only true, real story is the story that Jesus brings us. It's the story which is now encapsulated within the covers of our Bibles, as we have not just the scriptures which Jesus opened to the disciples, but we have, of course, the continuing story of Jesus with our New Testament. But the story doesn't end there. What is it to be a witness? Well, a witness is somebody who sees or hears something. But to be a witness is to be faithful and true in telling what has been seen and heard. We have in our reading in Acts today a wonderful example of Peter proclaiming the truth for all to hear as he speaks of the healing which the people have witnessed, not being through any power that he and John have, but through the power of the risen Christ. He uses those very words, "We are witnesses to the fact of the resurrection of Jesus, and the fact of what that has done to change the world." And so it has been down through to the present day. The Reverend Terry Peterson says this about this passage: "Our task is to continue the story, to wander and teach and heal and tell stories and eat and love, to widen the circle of grace until all are drawn in, to hope, to share. What good is a mind and heart opened to understand if it won't share our understanding? What good is a gift of love so great it can conquer death if all we do is hide in an upper room and discuss it amongst ourselves? The story needs witnesses, people to continue walking through the pages, passing on the message, seeing where the plot goes, looking for the Spirit's leading. And those witnesses are the body of Christ, meant to be an open book for the world to read. Now, I find those words very, very challenging. And I'd like to think a little bit about doing story. There are a huge number of ways in which we can do story. We can tell the story. It can be around the family dinner table. It could be conversations in the office or works canteen, chatting at the school gate. It can be through testimonies in church. It can be in FaceTime with members of our family far away, the other side of the world. For some, they write a journal of their spiritual journey. Another way in St. Paul's in which we do it is through our hospitality dinners. Now, a number of people gather regularly. As we sit around the table, we take a little time to share just a little bit of our story with each other. Now, if you're interested in joining in with that, Teresa is our contact lady, and we'll love to tell you more about it. Another way in which we've done story here is actually up there. Because when you think about it, each little piece of that lighthouse building has its own story. And as we were making that and working with it, so we were hearing those stories and sharing and growing. And it enriched the whole process. And it stands there now as a visual affirmation of our desire that we as the body of Christ should be witnesses to our entire neighborhood. Another wonderful... No, I shouldn't have used that word, should I? Another remarkable way in which we can share our story is plugging the magazine time, the Lighthouse magazine. It's something which I can only say has been a really, truly enriching experience to be involved in drawing this together and turning it into 36 pages, three times a year. There's so many stories contained in this. I'd like to perhaps just select one. There's an article on Christian parenting, and there are some lovely bits in that. I do commend it to you, but I'd just like to highlight this bit. Claire Townsend was talking about her family growing up and Esther, her daughter. And she says, Claire says this, Esther made me laugh as she recalled the times we tried to induce family Bible time around a tea table or some other way to try and do more devotional things and how they were generally very short-lived. It was much more our being that had the greatest impact. And later on, Claire says, it made me think, if we want to pass on faith to our children, let them see us being faith with others, wider than just our own family. That's just a little extract from there. There's a lot of storytelling in here. Another opportunity we will have in the not too distant future now of getting together and telling stories will be at Letton Hall. Because it's one of the things I treasure most about those times away, the fact that we do have time to sit and talk at length with people who we may only just say hi or a moment over coffee after the service, but don't perhaps meet regularly. And so you can have a lot of fun there. Now, I would like to invite you to enter into this experience of sharing your story. I'd like you to turn to a neighbor, twos or threes, and just spend a little bit of time. Now, what sort of things might you share? I would suggest think about things, experiences which warm your heart, experiences which bring you up in wonder or awe. You know, when you don't want the moment to pass, times when you feel uplifted and upheld. Perhaps you recollect the restoration of a broken relationship. Perhaps it's an answer to prayer. Perhaps it's one of those wow experiences that leave you just speechless. Think of those times when maybe you've just wanted time to stand still. Because Louise used to use a lovely expression about times when heaven reached down to earth and the barrier between the two was very thin. Think about those experiences. I'll give you an example of one thing that comes to mind for me. And that was two occasions where two of our adult grandsons took the decision to be baptized. Richard within our church family here, and Joel within his church family in Cambridge. And to be present on those occasions was an absolute privilege, as I heard those young men stand before their church families and witness to Jesus in their lives. So that's just a few examples. And I'm now going to give you a few minutes to talk with your neighbor. Please.